Paul, you drive out of town for about 30 minutes in a company rental car. When you arrive at the address, you discover it's a private, fenced-in property, and the only way to get in is to pass through the gate and travel down a gravel country road.
Is there a rest stop or any place I can pull over where my car's not going to get towed?
Yeah, there was a small-town gas station not too far away. You could probably get out and walk back.
Okay, I'm doing that. I'm going to be dressed up in hunting gear, carrying an empty rifle to complete the look. I've got a backpack, which I've stuffed with more elaborate camo, and I'm carrying a small ladder.
Why a ladder?
A lot of times private land blocks off public land, so sometimes hunters have to find a corner where two pieces of private land touch, and they use a ladder to climb over the corners of the private land without actually touching it. It's not important or anything, it's just part of the disguise, and nobody's gonna quickly assume that you'd lug a ladder out to a stakeout.
Okay, got it. Yeah, hunter goes into the local woods with a ladder. That guy can't be a cop. Why's he got a ladder? Cops don't have ladders.
And there's like an explanation if you know about it. Yeah, gonna get me some spring turkey.
Well, you disappear into the woods with a ladder.
And once I'm a ways in, I'll stash my ladder and rifle someplace I can find it later, put on my Swamp Thing outfit, then hop over the fence.
You stalk the woods in a ghillie suit, but the first problem is finding this place. You know the address, but it's actually kind of a large parcel of land. You could find the road and try to follow it, but that might cause you to be spotted by either the people who live there or the feds.
I'll comb the area. For all I know, what I'm looking for is actually hidden anyway.
All right, great. Problem is, this is going to take a couple of hours. They've got a little under 150 acres, and it's overgrown with pines and rough terrain. For that matter, you're trying not to get spotted. At some point, you're able to tell where the road is, but then you have to go wide and attempt to follow it at a distance. However, the road curves, which forces you to double back somewhat and travel in a weird jigsaw pattern. Eventually, you can see a clearing ahead of the woods where a few cars are parked. There's an old farmhouse, but also what looks like might be an old tornado shelter.
Finally. Go ahead and lay down, do my best impression of a shrubbery, and just watch the place.
Like any stakeout, the next few hours are a long crawl of nothing interesting happening. You have super senses, so you do notice a few things, though. For one, you spot what's probably a federal agent in another part of the woods. It's another guy in camo, and he's just watching the area through his binoculars. The poor guy can only see what's through the binoculars, though, and you can use your entire field of vision as well as your super hearing. Another thing you note that catches your interest is one of the cars parked out in front looks like the same make and model as Elvis's car. In fact, it looks scratched up in the same places, too. And the interior looks pretty similar, though you can't get a close look.
What the heck? Okay, back up a little, get somewhere a little bit more private, and call the local police department where Elvis reported this car stolen.
Hello?
Hi, this is Kimon, Slayer of Men, Keeper of the Nine Hells.
Oh! Sure, yeah, you were up here the other day.
Yeah, can you do me a favor? Can I get a license plate on that car that Flux kid told you was stolen?
Of course, sure thing. They give you the license number, and it's a match for the car parked outside the farmhouse. That's Elvis's car.
Oh my god.
Yep, one of Mercury's people stole it right from under you.
Oh, I'm gonna get them. But first, I'm gonna watch them. I'm gonna go back to my spot and settle in.
Now the rest of the day passes and nothing interesting happens. We can assume you pack some canned goods to keep you going, but the sun is going to set soon.
The nighttime is when all the cool stuff is going to happen. I gotta stay.
You don't have work in the morning because this is work. However, as the sun begins to set, you notice the Fed in the other bushes is getting some kind of gear. If it's night vision, he won't spot you. But if it's infrared, he'll probably notice your body heat.
Oh, that's not going to work for me. Okay, I'll head into the woods, out of his potential sight, then circle around and get behind him. I'd like an eye on his setup.
You've got vision like an owl on top of your other abilities. Losing the sun doesn't even slow you down. Creeping up carefully, you get behind the guy, and your ears pick up some sound, and it turns out there's another guy at a small campsite back there near him. They're probably tagging in and out, using a really low tent and doing their best to keep it hidden, but it's hard to hide from Kimon, the Slayer of Men. From behind them, you can see they're operating an infrared camera, so it's lucky that you moved, but this also means that in the long run, if you stay the night, they're liable to spot you eventually. There's no telling if a guy's just going to get bored and start looking around himself.
All right, fine. It's time to leave. I'll head back the way I came, get my stuff, and head back to the city.
It might not be bad if they spot you necessarily. There could be more than one department out here, and you are technically one of the departments that can be out here. It's not like they're going to walk over and see who you are.
A guy who's just watching a place without gear is clearly superpowered, though. And I'm not supposed to be here according to my boss. So no, I'll head back.
Back through the woods you go. It's easier navigating now that you know the place a little better. On the bright side, you get a decent amount of sleep and turn up for work the next day. Speaking of, Lowry, when you get into work, you have an old colleague waiting in your office. It's none other than the fantastic superhero Light Show and his sidekick, Terry. He stands up as you walk in and he shakes your hand. Lowry, good to see you again.
Likewise, Light Show. I am so glad that you could make it on such short notice.
When I called you yesterday, I thought that maybe we'd have to go through a bit of red tape.
Light Cho is everything you imagine a superhero should be. He's tall, he's visibly muscular, his costume is bright and loud, he's got a cool blue visor that animates with LEDs while he talks. His sidekick, Terry, however, is in a pair of gray sweatpants and is currently doing his best not to make direct eye contact. Terry is a little greasy, socially nervous, and you've never been sure why he and Light Cho pal around. Except for that, supposedly, Terry's really good at paperwork and accounting.
How's the flight? I got you the best Learjet I could book on short notice.
Oh, the peanuts were top-notch. Worth every penny.
Are you kidding? You were supposed to get a first-class dinner.
I'm kidding. You know, of course, I barely touched mine. You know, I have to watch my figure. But still, though, thank you. Terry enjoyed his.
I can't believe you just get like that by working out.
Not just by working out. Also by suffering. I miss bread, Lowry. I miss it a lot. Ciabatta, especially.
Well, hey, I am glad to hear that you're all about that discipline, because that is exactly the kind of thing that we need right now. Discipline.
Oh, for sure. I'm really sorry to hear about the big guy.
Well, we all are.
He meant a lot to a lot of people. You know, I don't know if I would have become a superhero if not for him.
It's time to repay the favor, Light Show. We got a new guy I want you to meet, and I want for you to be the one to train him.
All right, bring it on. When do we meet?
You know what? Let's go in the conference room. We'll get together right now. I'll call a team meeting.
Sure. Paul and Elvis, as you come in the office, the secretary directs you to the conference room. When you arrive, Lowry's sitting at the head of the table, and Light Show is standing triumphantly next to him, beaming with all confidence. Terry is sitting off to the side, as far away from the sunlight as he can, while still being at the table.
Oh! Is that Terry? My man, it has been forever! I walk up to shake his hand.
Light Show intercepts you and shakes your hand on Terry's behalf. It's good to see you too, Paul.
Oh, come on. Can't Terry shake my hand?
I am sorry, but the social anxiety is just as bad as it ever has been. We tried medicine, but the side effects weren't worth it. Light Show kind of looks back at Terry, who has turned pale and is shaking.
I can't believe everything's still got to go through your hokey ass.
Light Show smiles at Paul in a peculiar way. It's not an unkind smile, maybe bittersweet. Eventually, Light Show says, Well, I am glad to see you again, Paul, but I'm actually here to meet your new hire.
Oh, you mean Elvis? Yeah, this is him. His stage name is Flux. He can teleport, it's kind of a technical whiz kid, but like a lot of kids these days, he can't put down his phone.
I also know some karate. Thank you, I can introduce myself.
Oh, well, pardon me. I thought I was introducing you to a friend of mine, but I see you can handle it. All right, that's enough. Elvis, this is Light Show and Terry. Light Show is going to teach you how to do the superhero work properly. Terry is his protege. Hold on. Is Light Show and Terry here to train Elvis?
Yes. I thought the team could use someone who wasn't as much of a loose cannon.
Why is everything with you a unilateral decision, Lowry?
Well, I'm sorry to say, this is not a democracy. This is a company, and we're going to run it however we have to in order to make it successful.
You're pawning off important work to federal agencies, misrepresenting my actions to the press, and now replacing parts of my job without telling me.
Light Show says, I am really sorry, Paul. I didn't know that you weren't told about this.
I'm not mad at you. I know you weren't told. If you thought you were going to have to get in a confrontation with me, you never would have come out here.
Terry begins nervously vibrating in his chair. His fists are clenched and he's trying to stop himself, but he can't. Light Show goes over to him and puts his hands on his shoulders.
Come on, that's enough. You know what? You're not really needed here. You can go.
Is that so? Well, where am I needed, Lowry?
Why don't you go patrol the slums?
Is that what you want? You give up the case on Mercury and have us relegated to domestic disputes.
No, I want you to go down there because you'll fit right in with the rest of the trash.
You know what? That trash used to be my foot soldiers.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe you better go remind them what that got them.
I don't know how to express to you, Lowry, how much bigger some of those people are than you'll ever be. You think you're better than them?
I think I told you to get out of here and go patrol.
Give a single one of those guys your money, and you'll find that they could be just as selfish,
listen, as ignorant. Am I going to find that they're able to leave a room when asked? Because that's the incredibly high bar I'm looking for right now.
No, you listen to me. Okay, you don't know setting bars. Listen.
You get out of this office, or you were fired. And after that, I don't care what you do. Try to start up your own independent company if you want, but the governor won't hire you. Federal agencies won't work with you. If you think your little foot soldiers were so great, have them pay you. But if I hear one more word before you're gone from this room, then you are gone from this company.
Leave. Slam the door.
Light Show says, he is right. If I knew this was going to cause a fight, I wouldn't have come out.
This fight has been brewing with or without you, Light Show. That's why we need you more than ever. We need your expertise in the field, and someone that can respect authority and cooperate with other members of a team.
I thought I'd be working a little with Kimon to start with. New Jerseydelphia isn't exactly my home city. I don't know the place that well.
That's all right. You can take it slow. Flux, you've done all the online courses for the job, right?
Yeah, but those are just supplementary, It's not like real experience.
Sure, but most crimes you'll get called in for are minor. Busting shoplifters who can run through walls, that kind of thing. And Light Show knows how to do all that.
Well, I haven't had time to brush up on local codes.
That's fine. Just use your best efforts. We need to get real superheroes out on the field pretty much yesterday. I'll be honest, I'd like to retire Kimon as soon as possible.
All right. If you're comfortable with it. I know you want me to do some mentoring for Flux, but this is his home, so who's leading the team?
Officially, you're in charge, but I'm sure you can work together and ask him any questions if you're not sure about something.
Okay, great. Then I guess we'll just head out now?
Now's perfect. Let me know if you need backup.
In that case, unless you have any objections, Light Show and Terry head downstairs to the garage.
I'll hop in the elevator with them. Hey, I'm really sorry about Kimon. When I first joined, I knew he was supposed to be this super cool dude and everything, like real, bad. But you don't really think about how tough it is to work with someone like that.
Terry kind of hides behind Light Show, trying not to be noticed. Light Show says, "Oh, I know Kimon. I came out to help with a big case out here that was pretty interesting. See, Captain Momentum thought that the city was in the grips of a gang with dozens of super criminals, so he had Freeze Frame call around and pull in anybody who could transfer for a while. Turns out, though, it was just one criminal. See, he was telepathic and could plant false memories in people, so every time the team went out, we'd remember getting beaten by 5 villains at a time."
How'd you even catch a guy like that?
Well, the elaborate false memories were how we caught him. And Kimon was the first one to figure it out. See, and if they robbed a bank or something, they'd always make security delete the footage. It made Kimon angry, though, because even if everyone was invisible, he should have still been able to hear or smell them. All he could remember is that they turned invisible and got away. Kimon started to worry he was going senile. I remember him ranting about it, and about the invisibility field and everything else. But then he started to realize everything about the memories was fuzzy. He couldn't recall what they smelled like, and I don't know if you've ever heard him, but he can do voices. He can sound just like another person, so he did an impression of one of the villains. None of us could agree if the impression sounded right. And that's when it started to sink in that although we remembered having those elaborate fights, the details didn't really add up, not even between each of us. After that, we had the banks install a redundant backup system for their security footage that only we had the password to get to, without telling the security staff about it. Sure enough, the very next robbery, we got footage of a guy loading up his backpack with money, then getting on a bicycle and riding away. After that, we called in one of our telepaths and we took that guy down.
Well, that's a cool story, but I feel like, I would have thought about the redundant security footage, personally. Like, that's kind of,
The elevator lands. Lecho goes, "Man, this is a slow elevator. Anyway, though, you might have, or the police might have. Telepaths are rare, though. Or at least we think. The way I see it, I bet if there were a lot of telepathic criminals, we just wouldn't remember they exist."
Oh, yeah. He probably should have erased everyone's memory. That would have been smarter.
Well, how can you rob a bank and just have nobody remember where the money went? We catch on to that, too. There's records. The guy was a dumb telepath. I think if you wanted to spend your life as a telepathic criminal, ironically, you'd have to never be greedy.
Do you think a telepath could, erase your entire mind?
Well, there's old myths about that, but I've never seen it in the business.
What are the odds that, Kimon is actually not as good as he seems, and he's just making us telepathically think he is?
Not very. Anyway, here's my car. You guys have arrived at the garage, and Light Show has his own tricked-out ride. It's a hot car, just like the Freeze-mobile. It's white, yellow, and red, and looks fast just sitting in the lot.
Man, how do you guys even afford these cars?
In my case, by not affording rent. That's in Oklahoma. I kind of give up a lot to have this car.
Oh, well, does it do anything special?
Nah, it's just cool. It's a tax write-off, though, since it's a work vehicle. That's kind of special.
My car got stolen. Kimon stole it, kind of.
He stole it?
He took it without asking, and then he lost it.
It wasn't a ride like this, was it?
No, but it was mine.
Kimon used to make fun of my car. But, it is kind of dumb. I regret having this car all the time.
It is a really nice car, though. I was sort of hoping you'd say that after a few years on the job that you could afford this.
Oh, no. Not normally. Do not get a car like this. It's got fiberglass body and my insurance is just perpetually mad about it. And then, to your surprise, Terry hops in the driver's seat.
Oh, does Terry drive it?
Terry's paying for half of it. And besides, I don't have a license. I can't drive.
Oh, you don't... okay, I thought...
Yeah?
Oh, just, I mean, it's got your colors and everything, and I know Terry's part of your team, but you guys are, like, splitting the cost of your car?
Yeah, and rent, too.
Oh, so you guys are living together.
Before you ask, no, we're not dating each other. Terry and I are very painfully single. Speaking of, do you mind sitting in the backseat? Terry gets anxiety when someone besides me sits next to him.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, I can't help but notice, it seems like every superhero I've met so far is single.
Yeah, it's stressful work, 24 hours a day, and it doesn't leave a lot of personal time. And aside from that, you never really get to turn the character off all the way. Some heroes date inside the industry, but then that's dating co-workers.
I haven't met any female superheroes yet.
They're out there. It's just that Captain Momentum kept your turf from needing a lot of people. But that's the catch, though. If there's only one female superhero in your area, dating her can either be the best choice you ever made, or the worst one, without a lot of in-between. Because you still have to work with the small team you have, even if you're no longer on speaking terms.
Is that something you have experience with?
No, not me. I mean, I don't take an interest in dating, personally.
Oh, okay. Well, that's lucky for you, I guess, in a way.
Terry starts up the car, and you guys begin a fun-filled day of doing minor police work around town. Mostly playing backup to stop the occasional drunk super person from being scary. As the day goes on, you learn that Lightshow's powers are, unsurprisingly, light-themed. He can blink across a room, create a sort of flash grenade from thin air, and even shoot lasers if he wants to, though he doesn't have to do any of that stuff today. Lowry also told you previously that Lightshow is mostly indestructible, though you don't have to witness any evidence of that. Terry, for his part, follows around diligently and mostly hangs out in the background. Even if you try to talk to him, he fails to get out anything meaningful, and Lightshow will always intercept you. It's weird, but it works out. Then over on the dysfunctional land, where things are not working so well, Paul, what are you up to?
Exactly what you think. I'm headed back into the woods to watch a supervillain's secret compound.
Back into the woods. There's evil out there, you know it. And if you watch long enough, it'll show itself.